Welcome to Drunk Bible Study. This show's mission is to read every single word of the greatest story ever told. A warning to our listeners, the hosts of this show are sinners, but they're doing their best. There will be drinking and there may be some swears. They did say they'd try to keep it clean, but I wouldn't put my money on it.
I'm Emily, and this is Drunk Bible Study, where my good friends Dedeker and Jace teach me, a born and raised atheist, all about Good Friday.
Yeah.
It is almost Easter as we are recording this, and I didn't know this, but besides Easter and Good Friday, there's also something called, what? Maundy Thursday? What is that? What in the world?
Well, let's back up.
Okay, all right. We're going to back it way up.
We'll go in order because we got to back all the way up to Palm Sunday, right?
Oh, you're going all the way back. Sure. Palms? Love it.
Like the palm fronds or like...
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Palm fronds. And that's supposed to be a celebration of when Jesus comes skiing in on the colts to Jerusalem because they laid palm fronds down.
Did they?
In front of him.
Yes. Where they
threw their cloaks down and like the palm fronds and stuff to kind of pave the way for him coming into the city.
Okay.
I forget which of the Gospels specifically mentioned that. I think it might have been Mark.
Does anyone know?
Or Matthew?
Yes. Okay. He's noted by crowd, shouted praises, waved palm branches. I suppose.
They waved
him around.
In his vicinity. Okay.
You know.
But yeah.
Okay.
This is the one where when you're in church as a little kid, you all get palm fronds.
Really?
And then as part of the Sunday, you go and like lay them down in the aisle of the church.
Yeah. Sometimes I guess we did it in my church.
Then who walks on them?
Jesus.
Is anyone allowed
Jesus
to
walks
walk on them?
Them in spirit, I suppose.
Okay.
I don't know that we actually had anyone walk on ours.
I don't have a lot of frond memories.
Wait.
No, I didn't even mean to make that joke.
Really?
God bless it. Yes.
Frond memories. That's really good, Dedeker. Well done.
Yeah, I think the Catholics make like a fun little cross.
Okay.
They craft a little cross shape out of some palm fronds. And then those palm fronds get burnt.
Wow.
Later. And those are the ashes that are used for Ash Wednesday the next year, which is the beginning of Lent.
Okay. Can we... When does all this happen? When does all of this happen? The palms, the ashes, the Wednesdays.
Sorry, we're really backing up. Ash Wednesday is usually the first day of Lent.
Okay.
The day after Mardi Gras, right?
Which is...
Is that the 40 days and 40 nights?
40
things?
Days before Easter.
Okay.
Here's the funny thing I learned, actually, when I was looking into this. It's 40 days, not counting Sundays.
Oh.
So it's even a little farther before than you would think. I'm pretty sure that's what I found when I was looking at it.
Yeah. That's a lot. Okay. And then, so that's Ash Wednesday before Palm Sunday?
Yeah, Ash Wednesday is the first day of Lent.
Okay.
And then like a week before the end of Lent is Palm Sunday. Jesus skiing in on the colts with palms. And then we go on to... what the Wikipedia article calls Holy Wednesday or Spy Wednesday.
Spy Wednesday? I didn't see that.
Theme week. It's
Spy
like homecoming
Kids
week.
Wednesday. Okay.
So I guess this is when we kind of commemorate Judas arranging his betrayal.
Oh, really?
Jesus.
Spy
like he was a spy.
We're commemorating that day.
Judas Wednesday.
Well, I guess we're remembering that that's when it happened.
Okay.
Okay.
Or something. Now, Maundy Thursday, which is today. Allegedly, this one is new to me. I think this is like a Catholic, Lutheran,
Episcopalian
kind of thing.
For those of you listening to the recorded version of this podcast, Easter has already happened this year, unless you waited another year to listen on Maundy Thursday. But when we're recording right now, is
Maundy Thursday before Easter. Why is it called Maundy? And why?
I did have to look that up.
I also looked it up. Yeah.
Okay.
So Maundy comes from the old French. Manda, which is from the Latin mandatum, which means a mandate or a command. And it was from a commandment to wash people's feet.
Okay.
It says here, Mandi means the ceremony of washing the feet of the poor, especially commemorating Jesus' washing of his disciples' feet.
Okay.
On Mandi Thursday, yes.
Okay. And then we get to Good Friday, which is Friday. When Jesus dies, which I always found really strange because it wasn't good.
Well, I guess the argument is that it's good for the rest of us. Who,
but not good for him.
Because Jesus died for our sins, so good on us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then do we get like sacrilegious Saturday or something?
No, so it's called...
Black Saturday.
What? I've also heard it called Holy Saturday.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
But it's basically just the day where you're waiting in between the one thing happening and then the resurrection happening the next day.
Okay.
And some religious practices will do like an overnight vigil that Saturday night over into Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I thought that it was 3 days, and now it sounds like it's just one day that he was like down for the count
dead.
And then arose.
So yeah, this is a problem known as the fence post problem in mathematics.
Oh man, about like how do we count the days?
How do you count the days? Do you count the fence posts or the gaps in between the fence posts, right?
Well, apparently we're counting the fence posts, but aren't there only two fence posts still? Wouldn't Saturday be the gap?
No, so
Good Friday,
he dies Friday.
Saturday, Sunday.
He dies on Friday. That's one fence post.
Okay.
We have the in between the fence posts to Saturday. That's the second fence post. Then we have the in-between the fence posts to then Sunday is the third fence post.
That's
so
never how I have counted
posts.
Days in my life. So the, but okay.
The wording is on the third day, not after 3 days. Like when we've read it in the Gospels,
okay, sure,
it's on
sure,
the
sure.
third day.
I still would call that Monday, but whatever.
So I guess that's it, right? So he dies on day one. Day two is Saturday. On the third day, Sunday. But yes, it's the fence post problem.
It's right. It's like when you're going to fling someone into a pool and you can't decide, like, is it on three or is it after three? And that's how someone gets their skull cracked open.
Uh-huh.
just a word of warning. Make sure that you clarify that if you're going to do a count to three with anything, lifting a mattress.
Yeah.
You know, just make sure that you know, is it on three or is it after three?
See, usually I'm just like, one, two, three. And then like, just somebody has to
okay,
really
see,
quickly make
different.
A decision. One, two, three.
Okay. Where did it go? Yeah.
Okay. And then, wait, what is Easter Monday? So Easter, first of all, is when he arises.
Yes.
Yep.
And then comes out of
I think Easter Monday is just
the tomb.
Like the extra...
The holiday.
National holiday that we get off of work.
Wait,
all.
Really?
Yes.
People get Easter Monday off of work?
Sometimes.
Some people do in Christian countries.
Oh, like
I do not
this one?
Get the Monday off.
Oh, you don't? Because nobody cares.
I actually don't know if ours counts as that. I don't think that Easter Monday is actually a national holiday in the United States.
Okay.
But we
I bet a lot of people are going to take it off.
Tough. Like, is it a... I don't know. Is it what do we call
holiday?
That?
A bank holiday?
A bank holiday? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it is actually.
It probably counts as a bank holiday.
Okay. All right.
Somebody said, Rutabagel said, no, it is not a national holiday in the U.S.
Okay. So not a bank holiday.
Easter
in the
Monday
US.
Is not.
Yeah.
Easter Monday is not.
So you can go to the bank.
As
on
much
Monday.
As you want. You can take that to the bank.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you for this crash course in everything having to do with Easter.
Have you ever?
Yes.
Okay, your church, like actually setting foot inside churches, experience is quite limited, right?
Quite. Yes.
Okay. Have you ever done either an Easter service or a Christmas service?
I think I did do a Christmas service. Like my mom wanted us to go. She can corroborate this. Corroborate?
I like corroborate. That's good.
Corroborate this in the chat, but I believe that we did some sort of like. Very late night vigil type thing where they lit a bunch of candles and sang
like a midnight
some music.
Mass,
yeah.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I don't know if I've ever been anywhere on Easter.
Okay, yeah,
I don't know if I. Yeah,
okay,
but I'm about to live right next to a church, and I was telling Jason Dedeker before everyone keeps going to the marble Marys in the front of the church. And they're like doing a prayer.
Marble Marys is a good band name, by the way.
Marble Marys. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's Mary, but there are two of them, so I don't know who the other one is. Maybe the other one is
could
like
be a saint.
Okay, like Joan of Arc or something. No, probably not.
I don't know about Joan of Arc, but is there a name attached to this church?
It's like Saint Elizabeth Church or something.
It's probably Saint Elizabeth.
Oh, okay. That would make sense, huh?
And Mary, because they're friends. I mean, family.
They are?
Cousins, as a matter of fact.
Remember, Elizabeth was John the Baptizer's mom.
Oh, shit.
The cousin of Mary.
Oh, okay. I
provided
that
that's the same Saint Elizabeth. Sometimes they double up on the saint names.
That's true. Sometimes saints are other people. Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So that makes sense.
How many Elizabeths do you know, right?
I mean,
how many are saints?
My aunt's an Elizabeth. Yeah.
See?
But, okay, yeah. But most people only go to one of the marbles. And so that one must be Mary. And then they don't care about Elizabeth. They're like, no, this Mary is the one that matters.
Oh, you mean like everyone goes to just one?
Yes, it's a very specific one. Oh. And they do the cross thing. And then one guy was like putting his hands on the marble and really getting into it. He was like doing a very intense prayer as I was walking by.
It makes sense. Because the whole point of praying to saints and praying to Mary is that they will intercede on your behalf, is that they're the ones in the know with the big guy. And like, maybe the big guy's not going to listen to you, but maybe someone slightly lower down the chain of command will listen to you. But like, if you have a choice, I'd probably go to Mary first because she definitely higher up the chain of command.
Right.
Definitely.
I think Jesus is going to listen to his mom before he listens to his
aunt.
I don't think she counts as an aunt.
Yeah. Or his fake dad, for sure.
Or his fake dad.
Why would she not count as an aunt? I thought they were...
They're cousins. So really, Elizabeth she's a cousin. Is his second cousin, really.
It's actually his first cousin once removed, but yes.
Okay, good.
Okay, Jess. Fence post boy.
Well,
okay.
Yeah. Emily,
yes.
Can you maybe post a picture in the Facebook group or in
the
Discord?
Yeah, I'll just like take a picture.
In that neighborhood again.
Yeah.
So we can try to identify these ladies, these Marble Marys.
I'll be there tomorrow. Yes, indeed. what are you two drinking on this Maundy Thursday?
On this Maundy Thursday.
Maundy.
I'm having a lovely Deschutes Black Butte Porter.
Mm.
Very tasty. Love me a porter.
It looks like a very dark beer.
Yeah. And I just had a filling in my tooth yesterday.
Jeez.
So I'm drinking a non-alcoholic beer here. This is a Nomo IPA.
No mo
alcohol.
Alcohol. Wow.
I gotta say, I love how far non-alcoholic beers have come in my lifetime.
Mm. Yeah.
Even just in the last like 10 years, I feel like it used to be your only option was O'Doul's and it was terrible. And now we've got all these amazing IPAs and porters and stouts and all sorts of good stuff. Anyway, it's a great time to be alive. What are you drinking, Emily?
All right. Well, I'm very excited about my drink because I had some pomegranate juice in the refrigerator and I looked up pomegranate cocktail tequila because that was the spirit that I had in the refrigerator. And the first thing that came up was Dwayne The Rock Johnson's perfect pomegranate margarita. So
wow.
I made that.
His very own.
Yeah, exactly. So all it is, I mean, it's super easy. It's just lime juice, pomegranate juice, agave, and tequila. It says 2 ounces of Blanco tequila, such as Termana.
Of course.
I don't have Termana, sadly, but it's still really good.
Nice. Well done.
Love that.
I was just going to remind everyone before we dive in that we have cast a new Jesus in this book of John.
Who?
Jesus will be played by Lil Nas X.
Mm.
And if you're wondering why, go look up Lil Nas X's latest music video and you'll understand why.
There you go.
Okay. We ready to do this?
Mm-hmm. So ready.
Okay.
Finally. Yes.
I'm so excited. Okay.
God, I forgot about this.
Got our fun.
Forgot about this music.
Our fun, exciting music. I'm thinking we maybe do the DBS Plus version of John all kind of in this like 80s style could be fun.
Love it.
Sort of like modernized, but not all the way kind of thing. I don't know. That could be fun. We'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway, today we are continuing on with the most famous reindeer of all, the most famous gospel of all. Of course, the book of John. And we're very excited to keep this going here. As we get started, we want to remind everyone to read responsibly and drink responsibly.
You can drink along with us, or you can listen to us while you're in the car.
But please do not do both at the same time. And now it is time for John Trace. I feel like I'm in Grand Theft Auto, like San Andreas or something right
now.
That's
fun, that's good. Yeah. That's good. I like
for
that.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. John 3. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews.
I'm going to call it Nicodemus.
Nicodemus?
I think it's traditionally how his name is pronounced.
Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, most assuredly, I tell you, unless one is born anew, he can't see the kingdom God, the kingdom of God. Most assuredly, I tell you, sorry, there was like a parenthetical thing and I was like, do I need to read this? And then I said, no, okay. I don't.
Great.
He can't see the kingdom of God. Most assuredly, I tell you, unless one is born anew, he can't see the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Nicodemus? Demas?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Nicodemus said to him.
I mean, you don't need to do a glottal stop in the middle of his name.
Nicodemus.
Nicodemus.
It's not a hiccup.
Yes. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?
Jesus is like, Nicodemus, you're on some sort of kinky stuff that I do not want to even
like,
entertain.
No, bro, we're not going to do that. Jesus answered, most assuredly, I tell you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom of God. Water and spirit? What's that about?
So I think water here, at least the way it was always interpreted for me, is, you know, baptism.
Okay.
In particular, okay. That's sort of a marker of being born again.
Were people being baptized at this point? Like, I know that John was a baptizer.
Yeah, he got to be. He's got to be baptizing somebody.
Were they specifically baptizing people for what purpose? Like for Christianity? For Judaism? Like Judaism doesn't have. Oh, I guess it kind of does have baptism. Not really.
What? Explain yourself.
Sorry. I will explain myself. So in Sex and the City, when Charlotte becomes a Jew, after being Episcopalian, she goes into like a body of water and then comes out and is, you know, Jewish. Like basically, you know, she has to go through a bunch of classes and stuff. But then
was it the mikveh?
Maybe I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
like
a ceremonial
a Jewish
bath. Yes, ceremonial bath. Yeah. So that was what I meant by that.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the Jews and other traditions and religions already had this sense of like, we dunk ya.
Okay.
And you're good. Or that's part of the ritual, right? And so at this time with what John is doing, that's a great question, actually. What's John's whole angle on baptizing people?
Exactly.
So I looked this up here while you were chatting about that. And according to gotquestions.org, and, you know, take with that what you will.
Gotquestions.org.
But that at the time of John the Baptist, that the baptism was basically a ritual cleansing for Gentiles who wanted to become Jews, basically.
Oh.
So exactly what I just said.
Yeah. Like Sex and the City. Yeah. Yes. Yes, that thing.
Yeah. Like what Charlotte did. Okay.
Well, so okay. No, we talked about the mikveh on a bonus episode freaking ages ago.
I mean, I'm incredibly impressed that you remembered that.
Well, yes, because I was the one who looked it up because the mikveh was also part of, because Sam in the chat is reminding me part of how women had to purify themselves regularly.
Oh.
You know, at least once a month post-menstruation.
Uh-huh.
And so, so it was like a ritual purifying bath.
Wow. Okay. All right, but
I don't think it's only because it's not only for Gentiles because Jesus was a Jew, was born a Jew, right? So it wasn't like he was converting into this,
but he still got baptized.
But I think it was still this kind of cleansing, repenting kind of thing you could do.
It's interesting that then it became a thing that Christians do.
Yeah.
I guess because of Jesus getting baptized? Who knows?
Maybe because of all this being really born out of Judaism in the first place?
I mean, yeah.
All of the above?
Jesus, yeah. Jesus was a Jew.
Hashtag all of the above. Okay, here we go. So, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born anew.
Uh-huh.
The wind blows where it wants to, and you hear its sound, but don't know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the spirit. What? He's talking in riddles today.
Yeah, he's feeling very poetic this morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's that he knows people are trying to trap him in things now, and so he's just giving intentionally really
now
windy, windy, nonsensical answers just so no one
just
can
started the
get
book.
Him.
Okay. Nicodemus answered him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and don't understand these things?" Sassy. "Most assuredly, I tell you, we speak that which we know and testify of that which we have seen, and you don't receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended out of heaven, the Son of Man, who is in heaven." Is he talking about himself here?
I guess so, yeah. Okay. I do think this is worth pausing to just take in how very, very different John is from the other Gospels.
For sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. That like right out the gate, Jesus is being way more poetic, way more sort of declarative, I guess.
And a little bitchy, if I can say that.
I don't know if that's how most people interpret this passage.
I'm
but,
sure okay. they don't. He's just, I don't know, he's kind of speaking in riddles a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I don't, it's interesting, but yes, mm-hmm. very different.
But like different from his other riddles about seeds on the road and stuff like that. Yeah. It's sort of a,
yeah.
It's like a more
this
poetic,
is more
abstract,
esoteric.
Yeah, esoteric, for sure. Exactly.
Yeah. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Oh, there it is, 16. Get ready, everyone. This is the one.
Emily specifically was very excited that we hit the old 316 today.
"For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So he's saying that he knows that he's going to die, I guess, here. This is happening earlier in the story than I expected it to, which is interesting.
Yeah, you hear the number 316 and you don't think about how early three is as far as numbers go.
No, exactly. You don't. You're just like, oh, it's in John. Cool. That's the place where it is.
I also think it's weird. It's a little bit weird to me that Jesus is the one who is saying it, because I feel like when people quote that, it's more like a statement being made about Jesus, but it's like, no, he's actually saying this about himself.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not usually given with that context.
That's true. But that's kind of how he's talking. It's a lot of like third person stuff, which is interesting. And maybe that's kind of specific to this book as well.
Mm.
"For God didn't send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who doesn't believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil." Whoa.
Yeah.
Who are they talking about? Some dude.
What, human sin in general, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Probably.
This is interesting. Sorry, I'm trying to understand if Jesus is actually the one saying this. And when I look at different translations, they seem to have landed differently on this, because quotation marks didn't exist in the original. And so, for example, in the Message, he has this as a quote, like Jesus is still talking, because he was saying his whole thing about being spirit and air and Moses holding up a snake and things like that. that it's just sort of a continuing quote. But then in others, like the NIV, there's sort of an end quote right before that. So the whole, as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him, is end quote. And then it's like the narrator saying the whole John 3:16 thing. So that's interesting. But then like in the complete Jewish Bible, it's in quotes, like it's Jesus saying it still.
Interesting.
So it's, yeah, yeah, very interesting.
Okay, so yeah, for God didn't send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who doesn't believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. Okay, so they're just basically saying, like, if you don't believe, then you're effed.
It's too late, you're effed, yes.
Awkward. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and doesn't come to the light, lest his works would be exposed. Okay, yes, now I see a little bit more where some like really fundamentalist Christians get some of their viewpoints. Because this, sorry if I'm just going to say it. Because, yeah, this feels more fundamentalist, if that makes sense.
Oh, like literally black and white, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and just a lot, the way in which he's speaking is just a lot more direct and specific of, yeah, you're not a good person if you don't believe this. You're just not, as opposed to just kind of stating facts or stating things that happened, which is kind of what the other three gospels did, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yes.
This is more like editorializing the whole shebang.
Totally. Yeah, and we talked a little bit about how generally there's a consensus among historians that John was written a lot later than the other three as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And so whoever wrote it, they were saying maybe he was a child at the time of Jesus. Maybe. Maybe. But it could have even been farther after that. And so by the time he was writing it, there was probably a lot more kind of Christian
more commentary and interpretation and principles and philosophy that have calcified in within early Christian belief already.
Right. And so yeah, this one reads more like stating not just a story, but like, and here's what this story means and how we're Christians, versus the others, which were kind of at least trying to be a little bit more of an accounting of this story, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, for sure. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his works may be revealed, that they have been done in God. After these things, Jesus came with his disciples into the land of Judea. He stayed there with them and baptized. Baptized whom? John.
Oh, hold on a second.
Yeah, I don't know. We just noticed. Did like a hard cut. Yeah.
So hard cut, verse 22. I was just jumping over to the Tyndale version.
Uh-huh.
Verse 22 says, after these thingies came, Jesus and his disciples into the Jewish Lande.
The Jewish?
Into the Jewish land. I see. The
Jewish
Lande.
Lande.
And there he haunted with them and baptized.
Whoa, spooky.
Haunted with them?
Yeah, he haunted with them.
He's cool. Getting ready. He's like practicing for his Holy Ghost days.
He's like, ooh.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. So, all right. He's baptizing too, which is fun.
Yeah.
And then John.
And haunting.
Yeah, baptizing and haunting. John also was baptizing in Enon near Salim because there was much water there. Great.
You do need that for baptism. So
I
suppose that makes
one
sense.
Does.
Very important.
They came and were baptized. I guess that's like people came and then therefore were baptized.
Mm-hmm.
For John was not yet thrown into prison.
A little foreshadowing there. Yeah.
Yeah. There arose therefore a questioning on the part of John's disciples with some Jews about purification. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, He who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, the same baptizes, and everyone is coming to him. John answered, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven.
Wait, okay, yep. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
My head is still catching up that John is also here now,
yeah.
too. Or
for some reason.
He's around.
Yeah.
Right. There was much water.
Lots
right.
of water.
Right, because, yeah, but he was in a different area.
Okay.
So then John's people are like, hey, remember that guy you baptized and like said he was the son of God or something? Well, so
he's
also baptizing now.
What do I
and
do?
And everyone's going to him instead of you. So
John's like, whatever, man. He doesn't seem to care.
Yeah, he doesn't seem worried about it.
Yeah, I think John very much describes to like glow theory.
Glow theory. What is that?
Hold on, let me really quickly Google it to make sure I'm getting that right.
Okay, while you're Googling that, I wanted to ask...
No, shine theory, not glow theory. Shoot, okay.
Decker. What is that?
Shine theory, it's this idea of instead of being like intimidated and competitive with your peers, of embracing this idea that we all make each other shine, you know?
Mm. That's really cute.
I love that.
You're so not sold.
I mean, sure. I guess I'll try to ascribe to that. My question is, did John get paid for his baptisms? Like, why does it actually matter if he
does imply there's probably some offerings or tithings that are going on?
Yeah.
Maybe a tip?
A tip. Okay.
Should have tried that when I got baptized.
Offer a tip to the person baptized.
You know, give a couple dollars to the person who did it. Be like, here's for your trouble, you know. Thank you.
And this guy's like,
don't spend it all in one place.
Thanks for the $2, kid. Okay. Alrighty. A man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice.
Now, Eugene has a good version.
Okay.
Eugene has a good version of this. He says,
what's that?
The one who gets the bride is, by definition, the bridegroom.
Okay.
And the bridegroom's
uh-huh.
the bridegroom's friend, his, quote, best man, that's me, in place at his side, where he can hear every word, is genuinely happy.
Wait, okay, so John is saying that he's his best friend.
And the best man.
And best
the
man.
Best man.
He's the friend and best man, yes.
Okay. All right, that's cute. I wonder if Jesus agrees with that. I do wonder also if Jesus actually had any friends, really? Because...
John, I guess.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe, but...
Yeah, he doesn't like talk shit about John in the same way that he does about his disciples.
But who can relate to being in Jesus?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
John at least like was kind of in line for the throne, it seemed like, but he wasn't.
No, I feel like he and John were always cool, right? Because when people would question Jesus
cool.
about John, he'd be like, nah, that guy's super cool. He's rad.
Yeah.
And then John's like, nah, that guy is awesome. I like him a lot. I think he's the son of God.
Yeah.
Right? I think they had a good deal going on. Maybe
what?
That's the turning point for Jesus kind of becoming grumpier later is not his impending death, but that John's dead.
Yeah, I mean,
he's lost his best friend.
Yeah.
The only man who could relate, maybe, kind of, sort of.
It's like David and Jonathan.
Mm, yeah.
Well, that might be taken a little far. They're not that lovey-dovey.
Oh, okay.
Not with that attitude.
Well, not based on the text.
No,
I'm not saying that I'm anti that, but it's just...
Well, a lot of
just...
this isn't based on the text. Yeah.
No, but they're good buddies. They're the only people who can understand the level of...
Each other.
...fame and influence that they have, you know?
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's like why celebrities all date each other and...
Yeah, because who else could understand
stuff.
What it's like?
My baptizers all hang out together.
Yeah.
This, my joy, therefore, is made full... He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all.
Did you skip some verses about the cup runneth over?
No.
No?
No.
Oh. Did she say those? Or are those not in it?
I don't see anything about no cups.
There ain't no cup on here.
Interesting.
Why? Is Wait, there can a you, cup in can your you version? Cup
yeah, it. Eugene has a bunch of extra verses, I guess. Huh?
This ends at verse 36.
Yeah, this is the same number of verses, but there's just a bunch of extra content here.
Do you want to talk about cups?
Sure. I mean,
the DVD extras.
So to carry on with this whole best man metaphor, he says, how could he be jealous when he knows that the wedding is finished and the marriage is off to a good start? That's why my cup is running over. This is the assigned moment for him to move into the center while I slip off to the sidelines. Oh, I guess that's the he must increase.
He kind of said that, but
yeah, okay. Yes.
Eugene decided to put like a cup runneth over metaphor in there as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
What he has seen and heard, of that he testifies, and no one receives his witness. He who has received his witness has set his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Except for, you know, his life for longer than 32 years or 3 years or whatever. But sure. One who believes in the Son has eternal life, but one who disobeys the Son won't see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Whoa, that's kind of the first time we've heard about this wrath of God. Yikes.
Yeah. Now, I'm wondering, because, okay, we're three chapters in now, and John has referenced eternal life maybe six times in this chapter, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did the other Gospels talk about eternal life ever?
I don't recall.
I don't remember them dwelling on that so much. I'm looking it up here. It looks like Matthew does include some references to eternal life.
Okay.
But just not as much, and not right out the gate like this. Again, yeah. I feel like John's really packed in a lot more.
Oh, he loves that eternal life.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He loves sprinkling stuff. Sprinkling it right in.
Yeah. Just right up in there.
Right in there. Interesting. Well, so that's it for John 3. We got 3:16 there. We got more threes. It happened.
Yeah, when I was a child, I had a Pog Slammer that had John 3:16 on it. Not the text of just the words John 3:16 on it.
Pog
Slammer. I'm sorry, what is a Pog Slammer?
Slammer, didn't you have Pogs when they were super hot in like 1993?
Yes, I had Pogs, but I don't know what a Pog Slammer is.
The Slammer, the like big metal one that you'd slam it down when you were playing the game.
They weren't always metal.
Were they not?
They were just always heavier and thicker. Sometimes they're made of like various resins or acrylics or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Pogs. Pogs was not just about collecting them. It was like marbles, right? Where there's also inherently sort of a game of skill and chance, wherein one might take someone's marbles away from them if you have won them justly.
So, did you want to win a bunch of John 3:16 Pogs?
No.
No, that was the Slammer. That one is the one that you won the other Pogs with.
Uh-huh. Okay. Why are you slamming shit?
That's how you play Pogs.
That's how you played Pogs, Emily. Okay, cool. Did you never play?
I don't know. I think I had some.
You'd put them all out and then you'd throw the slammer down on them and you'd try to flip them over.
I was more interested in Zelda, okay?
Okay, fine. Whatever.
All right, anyways.
Whatever. All right, we're going to take a quick break to refill our drinks and also to tell all of you to tell your friends about this show. Our live shows are so much fun. If you want to be part of that, you can go to drunkbiblestudy.com/live to get information about our live shows, or you can follow us on Twitch at Drunk Bible Study. It is so much fun having people here live, commenting, interacting during the show. They get to see all of the mistakes that hopefully get cut out of the final episode. So that's fun? Question mark. And of course, even if you just want to listen to the recorded versions, go tell your friends about it. Bring them all around. We love having more people listening to this show. And of course, as you notice, we don't do any advertising on this show. So the only money that we make to help pay for our hosting and editing fees is through our Patreon. If you would like to join that, you can go to patreon.com/drunkbiblestudy. And as a thank you for becoming a parishioner there, we have things like early releases of episodes, personal toasts on the show, Emily's drink recipes, and of course, our love and appreciation.
Yeah, so people in the chat for this intermission are really, really gunning for going to the Discord, which if you're not a part of the Discord, you can go to discord.drunkbiblestudy.com to join the Discord. Open to everybody, don't you know? And our listener, Angry Dorito, has posted a direct link to their Google Drive, which contains a video file of themselves dancing at an Easter service when they are 8 years old.
Oh, shit.
So, wow. This would be some good intermission entertainment for everyone to consume.
Duh.
And yeah, we'll see you on the other side of all that. And we're back. We're back. And
did you watch it?
I did.
Oh, shit.
I did.
How was it?
Oh, it was everything I could have hoped for and more. Like, just to paint a little bit of a word picture for those of you who are not able to watch it at this very moment.
Please.
Yeah, like four little 8-year-old girls, white princess dresses, red scarves tied around their wrists. And just everything you could possibly love about a church performance, you know, some like...
What were they doing? It was a church dancing. An Easter performance?
Dancing, yeah.
Okay.
Dancing to, in the words of Angry Dorito, some cringe worship music. And yeah, for sure. Not the first choice I would have picked for a stimulating, entertaining dance, but very reverent. And here's the deal,
somber,
folks.
Kinda.
A little somber, yes. Yes.
Have you danced to somber, reverent music before, Dedeker?
Yes. Within a church context, especially.
Okay. Okay.
No, but I was going to say, like, I want more of this content. This is a missive to all of our listeners that this is the place for this content. That it's like, if you still have these dusty old videos of your sketches or musical performances or dance performances from your church days, we want to see them. We're not going to blast them out to the internet or whatever,
them.
But like...
Are we not? It's,
well, not intentionally, anyway. If your video goes viral on its own, that's not on us. But...
It's not. Right. It's
yeah,
not
post fault. It in the Discord, post it in the
but
Facebook if you feel comfortable. It is just delightful. I know... I don't know. I was performing in church at a time when like my family wasn't rich enough to have any kind of camcorder or whatever, but there's other families who did.
Damn it, Dedeker.
Well, I know my performances are out there somewhere.
Mm. They probably are.
Yeah, I'm racking my brain now to think if I would have any of these performances and I just
we
don't
do
know.
We did perform once at a church together.
We did, but that's not quite what we're talking about here. We're looking for like the pageants and the skits and the things that you
I
do in
see,
Sunday school.
So I think I said this earlier in the year, or maybe late last year, but that my good friend who is the bass in my quartet when I sing in Hong Kong, his church has a pageant type thing every year for the nativity scene where there is a camel, a live golden camel on stage.
Interesting.
How can anyone...
Golden.
Yeah, I think they...
Wait, I thought all camels were golden.
No, but
you mean
like,
just golden colored, or you mean
no,
like glittery, shiny gold?
Like gold. They,
like they're
they,
painting
like spray
alive?
Painted or something? Yeah. I don't think that it was... I don't know if it was good for the camel. But I can't imagine that anyone...
Goodness.
I know. I can't imagine that anyone would pay attention to anything but the camel on stage.
That is a
it's
good
true.
Point. Yeah.
It's true. Anytime you put a live animal on stage just
for... It was like a mega church situation.
Flavor, no one's going to pay attention to the animal action with the humans.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's all about the animal. Yeah.
So,
what
yeah.
If, okay,
I mean,
but what if somebody like bred a shiny Pokemon, but it was a camel? What if that's the way the camel was born? It's very rare.
That's cool. I love
that.
That
is very rare. And
yes, very rare.
I mean, now it makes sense why they would want to show that off every year. Mm-hmm. Because they managed to breed this shiny gold camel. So, okay.
Well, and I was like, are there any other animals on stage? And he was like, no, just the camel.
Just that was all we could afford.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Oh,
all right.
My goodness. Okay.
Shall we?
Here we go. John chapter 4. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, not like anyone's keeping track or anything.
Making?
Like acquiring?
Yeah.
Making implies that he's
manufacturing.
Exactly.
Wait, hold on. Read this. Read this whole first few verses. I'm super confused now.
It was just one sentence.
It was one verse. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, in parentheses, although Jesus himself didn't baptize, but his disciples, that's confusing.
Yeah.
He left Judea and departed into Galilee.
I don't know if John's a very good writer, but he is a writer.
Yes, in your point.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
No, I just mean that John doesn't make a lot of sense. I guess a lot of the Bible doesn't make a huge amount of sense. But what does this mean? We just have to interpret it. You know what I mean? It's annoying when we have to consult other texts in order to get us to understand this text. It's annoying. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Historical writings do tend to go that way.
I suppose.
I can't get over the fact that we need to point out that Jesus did not actually do the baptizing himself.
But his disciples
did? His disciples did that for him.
Well, why?
That is, I've never heard that in any of the other gospels. That's never been mentioned. And I wonder why John felt it was relevant.
But why did everyone go to Jesus when it actually was just Jesus's disciples?
Yeah, you're right. Maybe that's why John's people were upset. They're like, you're losing business to Jesus and he's not even doing the baptizing.
Yeah, it's just his disciples. Well, it's kind
of like any of those fancy schmancy acting schools in Los Angeles, right?
That's true.
Where it's like, you're not going to work with Howard Fine right out the gate.
You're not going to work with, or what was her name that you went to?
Stella Adler. I don't think she's even alive.
Ivana Chubbuck,
right out the gate. Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah, you're going to work with an underling, with a disciple. They're going to baptize you.
Okay. Yeah. Or it's like if you have John Williams compose your score nowadays, it's actually all of his assistants and orchestrators that do most of the work.
Jace, he's 90. Okay.
Okay. Sure. Okay.
He needed to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar near the parcel of ground that
Jacob gave
to his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being tired from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And in parentheses, that says noon.
Dedeker, come across many wells in Tears of the Kingdom?
I have, yes. I've been diving into some wells, yes.
Cool. Okay. Just wanted to talk about
Who knows what's at the bottom of this one, but I don't think we're going to find out.
Sadly.
A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Parentheses, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.
I beg to differ based on many things that have come up in these books, but okay.
This is a good piece of context, though, to explain that. Like the fact that Jesus keeps talking about Samaritans, like the Good Samaritan, was the reason why the story was interesting at the time was because of this.
Yeah.
That it's like you would never even talk to them. And so this is like an extra whammy to have this woman feeding him water.
Whammy.
Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said...
Not good. Yeah.
A woman said to him, "It's probiotic water. It's good for you."
Oh, okay.
Ooh, that's good. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I think all water at this time was probiotic water, not always in a good way.
Nope.
The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then have you that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank of it himself, as did his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again.
Whoa.
But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst again. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life."
Wait. Okay. Like never thirst again, literally?
Now, literally is the question, right? I'm assuming he's speaking figuratively here.
Okay.
But sure, maybe literally. I don't know. That's always the question, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's just talking a lot in metaphors these days. And this here, John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this here, John.
This here, John. So that's the question that I have is, who is this man, Jesus? Is he a Mark?
Wow.
Is he a Matthew? Is he a Luke, perhaps? Or is he really a John?
What do you mean by that question?
No, Dedeker, no, that was perfect. Got it. That was, she gets it. That's one of Emily's sermons. Add that to the list of Emily's sermons.
Emily's sermons.
No, I just want to know, like, what does he encompass actually? Or is he kind of an amalgamation of all of them?
Hmm. No, I'm saying this is your sermon, Emily. You could make a whole sermon out of exactly that question.
I mean, I guess like Jesus is whomever you want him to be at that particular moment in time in your life. But Jace is being moved right now. No, but truly, I want to know who the actual man was. And it's unfortunate that we don't have a real, true telling of that. Or maybe secretly one of the tellings is the real, true telling. But I gotta say, I don't think it's this one.
Okay.
That's the last of my sermon for today.
Okay, all right. Good job. Well done. We'll pass the plate around. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I don't get thirsty, neither come all the way here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here."
And he's just like, "I am my own woman." But
yeah,
okay.
The woman answered, "I have no husband."
Oh,
Jesus
and
said
Jesus
to
said,
her,
"Nice,
nice."
No, Jesus said to her, "You said well. I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands.
Whoa!
And he whom you now have is not your
Whoa.
Husband.
Damn.
This you have said truly."
Okay,
girl.
The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet."
Well done, sir. Uh-huh. I see you are prophetness. Yeah.
Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship that which you don't know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah comes," parentheses, "he who is called Christ. When he has come, he will declare to us all things." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who speaks to you."
Sup.
At this, his disciples came. They marveled that he was speaking with a woman, yet no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why do you speak with her?" So the woman left her water pot and went away into the city and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything that I did." I guess in every one that I did. "Can this be the Christ?"
Heyo.
They went out of the city and were coming to him. In the meanwhile, the disciples... Oh, wait. I'm reading way too far. I've read way too far. I need to pass this off.
It's okay.
No, that's good. Let's go. Verse 31 is a good handoff spot here.
Great. They went out of the city and were coming to him.
Yeah.
There we go.
Eugene has a title for this next section.
Oh?
It's harvest time.
It's harvest time.
It's harvest time.
Whoa.
Okay. In the meanwhile... So again, hard cut, I think. In the meanwhile, the disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them,
"Nah.
I have food to eat that you don't know about."
What?
Whoa, like
I've got some,
what does
got
that
some
mean?
Cliff bars stashed away. Like, don't even worry about it.
This Go Macro bar is so tasty.
Yeah. He's like doing some secret eating. Okay. "I have some food to eat that you don't know about." The disciples therefore said one to another, Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Don't you say, 'There are yet 4 months until the harvest?' Behold, I tell you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, that they are white for harvest already. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit to eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in the saying is true, One sows and another reaps.
Oh boy. I need some help. Okay. Need some help.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of letting it wash over me.
Yeah. So, okay. They start by saying like, hey, you should eat something. And he says, oh, I've got secret food. And then they're all like, what? How'd you get secret food? And he's like, no, it's a metaphor, guys. I meant that like my work feeds me. I think that's... And then he goes off on this whole reaping and sowing
thing. And they're
like,
but what do you actually eat?
Yeah. Okay, so he's going on. So the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. Not a saying I've heard, but sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Verse 38. I sent you to reap that for which you haven't labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor.
Okay.
From that city, many... Sorry, that was the end of the quote. We're starting a new section now.
Okay.
What do we make of all that?
I have no idea. I need help. I need Eugene or I need Tyndale to confuse it even further. I need something.
Yeah, that's a good point. Who do we start
reapies,
with? Tyndale? Yes.
One sows and another rapies.
Okay, verse 31. And in ye meanie, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat ye.
Eating.
He said unto they, I have meat to eat that ye know ye not of.
Oh yeah? Good for you.
They said, then said the disciples between ye themselves, hath any ma brought him meaty?
Ma?
Jesus said unto them, my meaty is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish ye his work ye.
Okay, good. Well, I feel better now at least. Not any more clear, but I feel better.
I mean, I had a good laugh at the very least.
Okay, let's see here. This is Eugene now. He's saying, the food that keeps me going is that I do the will of the one who sent me, finishing the work he started. As you look around right now, wouldn't you say that in about 4 months it will be time to harvest?
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you to open your eyes and take a good look at what's right in front of you. These Samaritan fields are ripe. Wink. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's weird,
Eugene.
Wait,
did he say wink?
No, I said wink because Eugene made a translation that sounded suggestive.
Ripe?
Yeah. Well, he was just talking to the Samaritan lady and he's saying these Samaritan fields are ripe. Nudge, nudge. Get what I mean? Mm-hmm. Kind of a thing. So,
do you think that Jesus did it?
Wow. I got the age-old question.
Yeah.
The age-old question.
This is an age-old question. Is this something that was in the Da Vinci Code? Yes.
Yes.
Well, that was part of it, right?
Also in Dogma.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dogma. Most
modern day Christians would suggest that no, Jesus never did it.
That's the usual party line.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that he'd want to know what it felt like to do it outside of just like an esoteric like idealism of it.
Idealism. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ism. You know?
Wait, well, we're going to have to leave that one to everyone's imaginations because we don't have the answer to it.
We don't have the answer, but we can have the question.
You're right.
Okay.
All right, verse 39. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me everything that I did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they begged him to stay with them. He stayed there 2 days.
Oh.
Many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, now we believe, not because of your speaking, for we have heard for ourselves, and now that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.
Whoa.
There's a lot more Samaritan talk in this gospel.
Mm-hmm. So many Samaritans.
After the 2 days, he went out from there and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country.
What?
Yeah. So that's interesting. Remember in the other Gospels how when he goes back to Galilee, to his hometown, there's that thing where like everyone likes his teaching, but then they're like, isn't this that kid that we saw grown up, all awkward and weird. And then he would say his thing about no prophets appreciated in his own hometown or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's interesting here is that it's just sort of saying he went from there into Galilee, for Jesus himself said this thing about prophet having no honor in his own country, like almost as if he's referencing the other stories that have already been told about Jesus. Yeah. I don't think that's really what's going on here, but reading it now as the fourth book here feels that way.
Yeah, you're like, fascinating. How many of these have we done?
Yeah.
My God, yeah.
So, when he came into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went to the feast.
Thanks.
We were also invited.
We were at the feast.
We were totally there.
We were there.
You just didn't see us. We left early.
Yeah.
Jesus came therefore again to Cana? Cana?
I'm going to say Cana.
C-A-N-A? Yeah. Cana? Jesus came therefore again to Cana of Galilee, where he made the waters into wine. There was a certain... Oh, is this like when he was a child? Remember when his mom was like, hey, do the thing where you do the wine.
That was cool.
Okay, so back to that. Okay. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and begged him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus therefore said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will in no way believe.
Whoa.
The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go away, your son lives.
He says go your way, go away.
Oh, go away.
Same idea.
Jeez. Go away.
Go your way, your son lives.
Jeez.
The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way.
All right.
He went his own way. Go your own way.
He can go his own way, yes. That's what that song's about, sons being healed.
It's not at all, but Fleetwood Mac was having a big breakup, but yeah, for sure.
We're so close.
So close.
Okay.
As he was now going down, his servants met him and reported, saying, your child lives.
Ah!
So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. They said therefore to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, aka 1 p.m., the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. He believed, as did his whole house. This is again the second sign that Jesus did, having come out of Judea into Galilee.
Wow, we're numbering them, huh?
Yeah.
The second sign? Like, I saw the sign and it opened up my eyes?
Yeah, I think the second miracle.
Yeah, I think that's...
I guess maybe his first miracle is the water into wine. The second one is curing the kid of a fever.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
who knows where we're going to go?
Hasn't done any other miracles. I wonder if we're going to keep counting them the whole time.
That'd be fun.
Or if eventually we stop.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I would like that. I would like that if we got a good number. Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. I'm excited for that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool.
And that's it. Yeah. That's John 4.
Wow. Good job, everybody.
Wow.
Yay. Good job.
I hope that puts you in a good mood for Maundy Thursday.
Yeah. Is everyone going to reflect on what we just read for Palm Friday? What is it?
Palm Sunday already happened. That was last week.
Okay. That was last week? Wow. It was only a week between the...
It happened fast.
Yeah.
They were ready for him.
The skiing and the dying?
The cult skiing. Yeah. Palm fronds. Uh-huh. The dying. The resurrection. Wow. Yes.
Good Friday.
Yeah, it's all in a week.
Today.
Yeah. Tomorrow. All in a week. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Look at us.
Look at us go.
Yeah. I'm excited for more John. He's a very interesting Jesus in this one because he's really referencing constantly the fact that he's almost going to die very soon, that it's coming. He knows.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because it hasn't happened in the other books. He kind of like makes that known, I think, later on in the story. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, it's coming right at the beginning in John 3, 16 and beyond.
Yeah, I'm definitely really curious to, like, as we get, I feel like we're getting extra stories in John, like stuff that mm-hmm. we didn't get in other books. Like, that's exciting for new content. And then I'm also really curious to see, like, once we get to, like, the main event of, like, the crucifixion and resurrection, of, like, how he's going to change it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, are we going to get more naked running men, like more Tom Cruises?
Love that.
That are a part of the story, or like some twists and turns. Like, I think that, here's the deal. Have your opinions about John, but I think it's interesting that we'll be kind of going out with a bang on the Gospels with the book of old Johnny Boy.
At least,
for sure.
I like the fact that it's a John, it is a Gospel that has an opinion, whereas many of them don't necessarily have that. They're just kind of stating facts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I appreciate that this one is like, no, we're going to do a thing in a very specific way.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm excited for us to carry on as we move forward with John and see where this goes.
Indeed.
Right? Yeah. Like, how many new stories will it be? Or will we get new versions of old stories? This is
probably
exciting.
At least
I'm very excited for this. Even though I don't love John the Gospel, because I feel like he's too opinionated.
Oh, interesting.
But I do think, as far as reading goes, he's the most interesting to read.
What is your favorite gospel? Do you both have a favorite gospel?
I wouldn't have before reading them all here on this show.
But you have now, almost.
Yeah, I want to hold out. I want to hold out till we get to the end of the gospels. Before...
Okay, we're going to favorite it at the end.
Yes, yeah.
We'll do our rankings of the four gospels at the end. So
okay.
Be thinking about that, everybody. What are your rankings of the four gospels?
All right, everyone, we need to do a definitive ranking. Mm-hmm. And until then, we will see you soon. But... thank you for joining us for Bible study today. If you want to join the audience in our live stream shows, follow us on Twitch at Drunk Bible Study or go to drunkbiblestudy.com/live. If you want even more Drunk Bible Study, including early releases, cocktail recipes, personal toasts on the show, and more, become one of our patrons at patreon.com/drunkbiblestudy. If you enjoyed the show, take a moment to subscribe and write us a nice review on iTunes, letting other people know what you like about it. You can also join fellow listeners in the Drunk Bible Study Fans and Fellowship Facebook group or on our Discord at discord.drunkbiblestudy.com. Follow us on X at Drunk Bible Cast, on Instagram at Drunk Bible Study, or send us an email to info@drunkbiblestudy.com. Drunk Bible Study is created and produced by Jocelyn Grin, Dedeker Winston, and me, Emily Matlack. Our theme song is Book Club by Josh and Anand from their album Home of the. For more information, visit us at drunkbiblestudy.com.
I made a memory about your dad. He's in a book club. You know.